Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
All right, so we're recording.
All right, we're recording. From La Cocina Studios, it's the 140th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
This is Chris.
And oh boy, have we got a good episode for you guys today.
Tell them about the interview.
The interview. Well, you should be very happy about this one, Chris. We have a Lucha Underground star. Yes?
Oh, there goes the
speakers. Wow. Okay, thanks. Now you just broke our microphone.
Oh, wait. Why are you asking him? You're not going to ask me if I'm excited?
What?
Because I'm white.
Travis, are you excited?
Is that
excited?
A
little bit.
Should we let the listeners know? Yeah?
No? Let them wait.
No.
Ring of Honor.
I'll let them know. That way they stick around. You know, have something to look forward to, a tease.
Wait, they're not going to listen to us?
No, screw us.
No.
Yeah, okay. If you don't want to listen to us, that's fine. But you could later on listen to Lucha Underground superstar, Ivelisse.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we just got Ivelisse in for an interview, so that's very, very awesome. And that will be in the episode a little bit later, so stay tuned. So now, Chris.
Ring of Honor.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, Ring of Honor, whatever.
We'll make it short and sweet. They did a compilation episode highlighting War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is what we were wanting to watch in the first place before it became iPay-per-view exclusive. My match of the week candidate, I'm still struggling on pick, AJ Styles against Adam Cole.
Oh, yes.
The main event for War of the Worlds.
That is a candidate for me as well. I absolutely love that match. It was great.
Well, is there anything that stands out to you in particular in that match? Because I know mine, like, right off the top.
A couple of times that he countered out of a Styles Clash. Like, I really thought the Styles Clash was going to happen earlier than what it actually did. And I was like, God, this guy Adam Cole, you know? It's like, I forgot how good Adam Cole was. And him coming back. Oh, the very beginning. I love the very beginning when he was, like, taunting the crowd. He's like, I'm back!
You know? Baby!
Yeah, that was great. I loved it. I loved it a lot. What about you, Chris? You said you had a moment, or do you want Travis? Do you want to throw out a moment before this guy throws out a moment?
Pele.
Oh, I gotta hit him with the Pele.
Man, I think a missed one earlier in the match. And then he hit a beautiful Pele, almost guileless, if you will.
Almost put Pele to shame.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There you go. That with all the just besides the Styles Clash, but the pile drivers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oofta
made a. Mr. Cole, they're a couple inches shorter.
As if he had that problem already.
Right? Yeah.
All right, Chris, out with it. You.
Quickly.
AJ, quick punches, almost like a Kenta combo. Then went for the elbow. Cole ducked it. Went to hit him with a super kick. Styles ducked that. Styles went for the Pele kick. Cole ducked that, and while Styles is on one knee, Cole knocks him right in the temple with that super kick. It looked flush. I was like, holy crap, Cole's going to beat this guy. Wow.
Yeah.
Knowing that I hadn't followed up on this show, so I didn't read spoilers. I didn't know what happened at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what'd I miss?
So you were really riding the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was in it.
Which is rare for this guy because he's Spoiler McGee.
Do we want to talk about AJ Styles, what happened this past week?
Ooh,
talk about it.
Go ahead. He's no longer the champ. Mr. Rainmaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okada, he's the
Oh my goodness. Has anybody seen the vines and the gifs of like the last, you know, few seconds of that match? Holy crap. You know, I didn't watch the full thing, obviously. I only watched that clip, but man, had I watched it, I might be thinking if the rest of the match was like that last few seconds of the match, maybe that could be a match of the week.
Give it 3 or 4 months. Hopefully they'll show it on Access.
I was about to say, that wasn't televised or anything, was it?
New Japan pay-per-view.
Yeah,
pay-per-view.
New Japan pay-per-view.
That you could either pay, that you get through their New Japan channel, which is the equivalent of the network.
Site? Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. No, Access, that's, they're trying to catch up. Yeah. But yeah. He's still going to be months ahead before their current.
Omega also lost the junior heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Really?
But Kushida? Yeah, Kushida beat him. But yeah, all eyes are on AJ because those two, well, actually the three, Tanahashi, Okada, and AJ, those three for the last maybe year and a half since mm-hmm. AJ's been back in, since AJ's taking the trip to Japan. Solid stuff.
On the same show, I think Bullet Club regained the titles.
Tag titles?
The heavyweight titles. Not the juniors.
Okay, yeah.
Not the juniors. Yeah.
Okay. But that was a pretty impressive show.
It was Gallows and Anderson. Gun, yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much, I mean, Ring of Honor, the other match is, let's see, Adam Page versus Watanabe.
Watanabe,
yeah. And then Gato and Kata versus Addiction.
Those were both the Addiction good match
was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
The Addiction match was fun, but right off the bat I knew Okada's heavyweight number one contender, Addiction's got belts. That short one. The Asian looking trying to be Mexican. That one's gonna lose. Sure enough, that's it.
Yeah. I think all those matches were overshadowed by the AJ match. Oh. AJ and
the only thing about the ROH shows is that the shows are an hour. And I'm so used to still seeing like pay per view matches where they go on for a little bit longer. So these matches are still feeling like kind of like throwaway matches to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only problem.
Well, that's the only nit that I could really pick with the AJ Styles match and Cole. It was like, okay, Cole's back. Okay, great. And he's fighting AJ. Oh, okay, why? Like, because it'll be a good match. And I feel like a lot of ROH booking is this guy and this guy could probably put on a good show together. Here, let's do it.
On television.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing. Hey, you know what? Give us Andy Dalton against Silas Young. That's a fun match. That'll kill like 15 minutes on television.
Right.
But you're going to give us Nakamura, Roderick Strong opening match, you know, as good as it was for the 500 people that were in the building, you know, that would have been a nice like co-main event for a pay-per-view that you could actually make money on.
If you build to it. And that's the thing.
Well,
you know,
not necessarily. Well, Ring of Honor is that special case where, like you said, the mentality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they put these certain guys together in the ring, they're going to blow the roof off.
Yeah.
So you can either blow the roof off for free or blow the roof off for 20 or blow the roof off for 50 a person.
To an extent, both ROH and New Japan, it's a very niche market, even for the wrestling community.
Yeah.
So the fans that know about it, they're already going to know about it. So you really you don't really need to build up, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like to get taken out to dinner first before I, you know, go home and...
You're not a casual kind of guy?
Yeah. You got to wine and dine me. You got to give me storyline. You want lube. Yeah, you got to give me a reason to get into it, you know?
Bite the pillow. We're going in.
I mean...
Speaking of biting the pillow and going in,
okay.
TNA.
Oh, oof, though. I didn't watch this week, so you two have fun. Talk about it.
I'll make it easier. I didn't get to watch either.
All right. Here we go.
Okay, Travis.
I got a quick run out. I did watch it, surprisingly, about all three of them.
Yeah.
The one guy that doesn't have it. Okay. Yeah. So, Beatdown Club, they beat The Rising in an elimination match.
Rising has to break up.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Okay. So, The Rising disbands on the next episode.
All right. So, we had the best of five series finale between the Wolves and the Heels in a 30-minute Iron Man match. For the titles, I really wanted to like this match. It felt like it was purposely being just slow up until like the last like 5 minutes or so, because there's no pinfalls up until like the last, you know, 25 minutes of the match.
Okay.
And then it kind of went back and forth, and then the Wolves obviously took out the win, so they're the champs. Hmm. Which I kind of figured they would have won anyways, just the fact that I knew Aries isn't even with the company anymore. So it's kind of.
And Rude's actually going to be in the first television tapings for Global Force.
Ooh.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
They announced
that. Okay, so we also had a triple threat match for the Knockouts title. Kong versus Brooke versus Taryn. It was a very quick
match. That sounds like that should be good.
It wasn't. It was a quick...
Really?
It was a quick match. It was fun to see Kong like toss around these other...
Women.
There you go.
Self-censorship right there.
Well, you told us we had to.
Yes, you have to.
Okay, so Taryn, she got off the heel win, you know. Mm-hmm. She was walking back to the entrance ramp. Lights cut out. We get new music and everything coming on. It's a new tease for Gail Kim. So she's going to be coming back, and Taryn was freaking out, so blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Well,
so,
I thought Taryn was supposed to be gone after this, though. Wasn't she?
Well, they've taped 4 more weeks of this.
Yeah, so there's...
Oh, okay. I'm trying my best to not be spoiler McGee, so I'm not going to say nothing about nobody about nowhere.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, so the main event was, of course, everybody knew about this one, EC3 versus Kurt Angle for the championship.
We were going to watch this before we started recording, but the interview... Surprisingly so. Went a little longer than normal, which y'all are going to enjoy that.
All right.
So for time's sake, we didn't get to watch it.
From what I hear on the internet, it was a pretty good match. Was it?
Okay.
Travis.
Here's the thing. I have heard the same thing, that this match was match of the year candidate and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I watched it, and here's the thing. I don't want to say this is a bad match. It was a good match. But the thing is, it's a Kurt Angle match. And if you've seen Kurt Angle wrestle in, the last 15 years, you've probably seen this match before.
Paint by numbers?
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. Every
EC3 didn't balance it out and bring his own stuff to the table.
He held his own. He
can hang.
Yeah, yeah. But another thing that really hurt this match, is throughout the whole show, actually, is the commentators. I have an issue with Josh Matthews. Same thing with Pope. I really want to like Pope. I think I asked y'all a couple of weeks ago, hey, what y'all think of Pope?
Daddy.
He's not. Yeah, he does that. He'll like to say daddy. But other than that, it's very bland, like, for both of them.
Yeah?
It's weird.
This is a scary question to ask. Did you prefer Mike Tenay in the mix with those two? Or
Mike Tenay can get excited. Like, he can actually...
That's one thing I do notice when it's time to go home and the finish happens, yeah. It's Josh Matthews isn't, not only is he not excited, he's like underwhelming calling the finish. Like it sounds like he already knows when the finish is coming, so he doesn't sell
right.
the
no,
finish.
You're right. You're right.
He
That's doesn't. Exactly.
I've noticed that ever since he stepped foot in the commentary.
And matter of fact, that first opening match, the 6-man tag, Galloway. Drew Galloway.
Yeah, right.
He was the last one in the ring against MVP and
Hernandez.
That guy. And MVP did his finisher move on him, and the commentators were like, "Okay, well, there's his finisher. Oh, 1, 2, 3. There you go." It was like,
that it?
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Think. All right. So, but that's pretty much Impact in a nutshell. It is what it is. If you like Impact, it was a good show. But for me, there's a lot of storylines that I'm still like. Months behind on. So, but for what it was decent wrestling if you're just kind of watching it as for what it is.
So, being months behind on Impact, are you encouraged to not be months behind anymore after watching this?
I'm where Chris was like a year, well, 6 months, or, well, maybe a year ago, where you're kind of more, you're watching it for the car crash. Pretty much, you're just kind of watching to see when it just implodes.
I believe the way Chris put it was the wrestling historian in you wanted to see the company before it went under. Yeah,
yeah. Who's the band that's going to play while the ship sinks?
Yeah,
basically. Yeah. And I guess that's TNA and Rapid Fire.
Oh, there
TNA.
Was a quick little interview with Jeff Jarrett saying, "Ooh, I got some big surprises for you. Stay tuned next week."
What? Right, because Jeff Jarrett is running TNA. Oh, wait. No, he's not. He's running Global Force. So what are they doing? They're stealing TNA talent.
No, wait.
What?
No, wait. He might have bought OVW.
What?
Nightmare Danny Doring.
Danny Davis.
Danny Davis.
Yeah.
He had to sell the company.
Danny Doring.
Whatever. He had to sell the company. He wanted to move on to the next stage of his life with his family.
Really?
He's a private investor. Apparently, the next television tapings that OVW has, they're going to introduce this private investor. If this was a legitimate business that just wants to make money, I doubt they would make a character by having them on television and bragging it to the world. So at this point in wrestling, in the wrestling time, who is most likely that would be a character that's going to be debuting on this television and have a lot to gain by actually purchasing a developmental territory where he himself can train people for his own promotion that he's starting from scratch?
Yeah, that sounds a lot like Jeff Jarrett. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that we got news like several months ago that Billy Corgan was a part of TNA now, part of their writing staff, I'd say he would also fit the bill. Mm-hmm. But fortunately,
there's no TNA.
It's Dixie Carter, my God! You bought it. You all fell for it.
Hook, line, and sinker. Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, that's interesting. I'm interested to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, I am too.
Next.
Lucha.
Lucha Underground. All right.
Drago Hernandez.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there, done that.
Well, that is a little bit how I felt about Lucha Underground this week.
Yeah.
I thought it was Okay, there's been better Lucha Underground shows. Out of all the Lucha Underground shows, this one may have not been the best, but that's still...
Hand over fist better than the 3 hours that we normally get from the corporate machine.
Yeah, the worst Lucha Underground show is still on par with or better than the best Raw. Yeah. You know, so it's not that big of an insult to say that. I just felt like this week's episode was a little down in the valley instead of up in the peak.
Just like every other wrestling promotion, when you're building up to a big event like Ultima Lucha, you're going to have a week where or an episode where it's just...
And they're still reminding us about Ultima Lucha.
Yeah. Oh, they're definitely building. That's the one thing that I do like about it. They're building.
Yeah. The first match was Daivari. He came out and he fought Tejano.
Yeah. Which, okay, Tejano.
From it.
Guess he's a face now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told that to Chris. I said, that seems like a very fast turn.
It was.
From his debut, yeah.
This whole thing with Daivari, though, since they don't emphasize every single storyline on every episode, this is like 5 weeks old.
That's true.
You know? And this might be Tejano's first face turn since even before he won the title in AAA. Because he was a heel wearing that before Del Rio came and knocked him off for the mega title. So
nothing says being a heel by saying your name is Tejano, but you're from California.
That's true. Especially if you would be in Texas. Yeah, if he comes down here. Hey, Tejano from Baja California. Boo. He's a real Tejano.
Summer residents in Houston. Yay!
Yay!
All right. So Tejano, he won clean. Hernandez, he fought Drago.
Yep.
Drago won that one up. Oh, disqualification.
That's what it was. That was interesting.
Yeah. Hernandez, I guess, got frustrated.
Yeah.
Took a fan, air quotes, and
took one of his spare belts because he had like six on.
Yeah.
No, he took the belt that was around his pants, not through the loops or anything. Yeah.
He just likes to accessorize, okay? Yeah.
And proceeded to whip the holy hell out of Drago.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson would have been very proud. and then choked him. So, yeah.
Mm. All right, so then we go from there to Marty, the Moth.
Even the announcer chick, when she introduced to Marty, the Moth, she did the art thing.
Yeah, the little
moth and then she wave. Gave him the look like, you know the restraining order's in the mail, right?
he fought Del Rio, or El Patron.
Well, loosely on fought. That was a quick armbar and...
Yeah.
Boom went the dynamite.
So that was pretty much it. And then we get to the main event. Chavo in a no disqualification title match. And if Conan interferes, uses his cane, he loses the title against Puma.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The deck was really stacked. And Chavo still didn't get the title.
Right. That seems like what Chavo's career has been this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Chavo has everything going for him. He's got the pedigree. He's got the training. He's got the backing of whoever it is that, you know, he's working for. And you're just not quite. You're close, but not there.
Even in the little pre-match promo in Dario's office, he says, I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I was like, oh, Chavo, please.
Chavo, you not fulfilling your destiny is your destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Lucha. You know, I think this might be the first time in a long time that we haven't had a match of the week candidate come out of Lucha Underground.
Hey, you know what? It's a break. Whatever.
All right. Fine.
You sound shocked, but okay.
I am a little shocked.
Okay, you sound disappointed.
Well,
Love the Puma, the backstage interview with Chavo and Mil Muertes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That little face stare of Mil Muertes.
And Chavo, it's weird. Like, Chavo needs help to try to beat up Prince Puma, but yet he's got enough cojones to stand up to Muertes face to face.
Yeah.
He wasn't the brightest one in the bunch.
Yeah. Maybe he just greatly underestimates Mil Muertes. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Maybe.
Listo?
See?
Yeah.
Do it. All right. Oh. Yeah, sure. Let's
do it. Speaking of Lucha Underground, let's go ahead and talk to one of their most awesome people that they have, Ivelisse. So let's cut to that. Interview time.
She makes a great team.
Yes.
It's still real to me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are with our very, very special guest interview for this week. We have none other than Lucha Underground superstar, Eva Lis. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up? I am doing better every day, thank God. And how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to hear that that you're doing better. We'll get to that maybe in a little bit. First off, I want to, you know, kind of get to know you, maybe have our listeners get to know you a little bit, kind of an icebreaker. Let me ask you this. Since we're all, you know, involved in the wrestling community, we're all wrestling fans, it always started with something. When did you first become interested in professional wrestling, and what was your favorite aspect about it?
Well, honestly, I've been an athlete since I was 8. My brother was the one who was a super fan of wrestling, and my uncles and whatnot. So I was kind of exposed to that at a pretty early age because of my brother and my uncles. And as you know, as I began doing all my athletic, journeys, because I tried every different sport I could possibly get myself into. As I grew older, into my teenage years, I just kind of, you know, would walk and be like, you know what, why not? It's, you know, it's something I could do, why not? So I just kind of threw myself headfirst into a completely unknown journey of professional wrestling at 15, and it's been quite a crazy one now.
Well, I mean, this may not be wrestling related, but I'm interested now. You said that you played every other sport that's out there. If it wasn't for professional wrestling...
No, not that's out there that I could get myself into.
Okay. Well, if it wasn't for professional wrestling, what would you have wanted to play as a sport?
Well, I wasn't, like... I that's the thing. I never really felt that... I don't know, it's a certain, that passion, I mean, I knew I was passionate for sports and, you know, activity, athleticism, blah, 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 but I never really found that sport that really, you know, moved me. I started doing track and field and cross country, I was a runner, that's where I started,
yeah.
And then I branched off to basketball, you know, I did volleyball, baseball. It's kind of as if I was trying to find the sport for me. I started getting interested in contact sports, and wrestling was always there. So that was just the first one that I kind of sinked my teeth into, and I loved the fact that wrestling was pretty much the best of two worlds that I absolutely loved, which is entertainment and sports. Contact sports. So it was just pretty much, that was the one for me.
Awesome.
You know, I finally found that one that, you know, that felt right.
Cool. Now you said that you started at, you know, a young age. What was your first foray into the wrestling world? How did you first start out?
How did I first start out? I actually, began in Puerto Rico. I knew no one. I knew absolutely no way how to even begin. And I didn't have anyone in my family that knew anything about wrestling, nothing. Like, I knew absolutely nothing. So I just, a friend of mine from high school had an older brother who was doing it independently and stuff, so I was like, Noah, I'm gonna start there. He's obviously trying to let me make my first contact there and keep, you know, just learning more and more. So I just started there, and everywhere I would go, I would learn more and ask more and meet more people and just study everything happening around me, and I had to learn everything by myself and that as I went.
Okay. Well, I mean, fast forwarding a little bit, you know, that may have been your, you know, where you began from wrestling.
The very beginning.
Yeah, everyone knows you from, and I guess nationwide, everyone remembered you from Tough Enough. That's why I got my first time seeing you, and I'm sure a lot of other people out there are the same way. Going into Tough Enough and gaining that national exposure, how was that experience for you? Do you look back fondly on that?
Well, at that time, I was actually pretty discouraged with wrestling, mainly not only because I was starting from ground zero from whatever I had achieved in Puerto Rico and, you know, learning the bigger picture, you know, going from a little itty bitty island to the big shebang, you know, and pretty much and it's like I was starting from ground zero completely. So that was a little hard, and I kind of was just like, I'll just start doing MMA, you know, screw that, whatever. I did what I did, and at least I had something here I can do, and, you know, I've always wanted to try it, and whatever. So I was training. I think I trained for about 8-9 months, and then the whole Tough Enough buzz was going on, and I was like, should I not? And I'm like, what do I have left to lose? I've already given 6 damn years into this. Around that time, I had already given like around six years, if I remember correctly. And I was like, yeah, why not? You know, I'm just starting this, so why not give it the last shot type of thing? If something comes from it, then it was meant to be. And I just was just being a little wuss. So I did it. I gave it, you know, and I was chosen, and I was so close. You know, the whole injury happened. It took me out. I wanted to do everything possible to make sure that I would come out. If I didn't win it, at least I'd make a strong enough impression to at least get a contract, no matter what, whether I won it or not. I wanted to make, you know, use that to get myself where I wanted to be. So after the show happened, everything wrapped up, I was eliminated due to injury, whatever. I still did everything possible, every chance I got, to speak to people. To, you know, it's the business side of this, and just keep networking and learning more and more about people, the engine inside, you know, when they would bring us to the WWE event to film, you know, whether it be for the finale or for whatever it was, and all of that stuff, everything. And it came to my advantage, because eventually I was actually the only one who got a contract from that show who didn't already have a contract. And there it was, finally in WWE. It was a couple of years after I had come to the U.S. from Puerto Rico.
Cool. Maybe
2 years after.
Yeah. Oh, cool. You know, we haven't had very many people that we've been able to interview that has gone from WWE to Lucha Underground. And I think you might have kind of an interesting perspective with that, you know, seeing, you know, what the big juggernaut WWE machine is as compared to what's different in Lucha. Like, we talked to Hernandez a few weeks ago, and he was able to shed a little bit of light on that. But can you give us your perspective as to what would be the differences between WWE and Lucha?
Well, Lucha Underground is, you know, like a little baby still, you know, like it's making a huge impact, and everything is going great, and that's the best thing ever. But it's still at the beginning stages, and you never know how, you know, maybe that's how WWE started, and then the bigger it gets, you know, the more complicated the whole, you know, thing gets, and then that's when all the, you know, the negativity of politics and all that stuff come into play, and all these horror stories that you hear about WWE or whatever and all that stuff. But so far so good, and so far the intention is still there to keep Lucha Underground the exact opposite of WWE, in the sense of, like, it's not about who you confess to, it's not about who you know, it's about, you know, you get credit for what you put out, pretty much in that sense. And there's no like clicks and, you know, the drama and all that crap, at least not yet, knock on wood. I hope it stays that way for a very, very long time. And that it's just so much better that way, because that just creates just this aura when you're doing these events of just everyone. It's not like everyone's out for themselves. It's the exact opposite. We are all trying to help each other, you know, create something, you know, awesome. Like, we've all gone through struggles. We've all, you know, we're all artists that have been through some, you know, type of trial and tribulation or whatever, and we're not out to get each other. We're out to help each other, you know, create something awesome. So, and it's turned out pretty well so far.
I would say it's been a really awesome show. We are very, very high on that show here at Houston Wrestling Radio. It's what we say is the best wrestling show on TV right now. And, you know, one of the aspects of Lucha Underground that just makes it so different that you don't see in the States a lot is intergender type stuff. And I know that they try to, you know, say that sexy star is the one that's the inspiration to all the girls and all the other females out there. But that's not to say that you're not either. I mean, you're pretty tough. And I'd say that, you know, even with you being in, you know, cast still out there competing and, you know, trying to get involved in the matches, I think a lot of people might also be looking up to you as well. How do you feel about being that type of role model for girls, and how do you feel about Lucha Underground not caring at all about if you're a man or a woman or whatever?
I absolutely love the fact that they allow the intergender action and all of that, because I know it's a tricky situation, woman versus man and all of that, but put it into the entertainment aspect of, it's like when there's fictional characters and in, I don't know, in some type of, in some movie, and there's a woman wrestling a guy, okay, it's not perceived. So like, oh my God, it's a man hitting a woman, blah blah blah, or whatnot. It's the story. What matters is it's the story. You know what happens before, what happens after. Like, it's just part of the story. And like, a lot. And I can understand, because there's a lot of people who do intergender matches without, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, as long as the intergender action that's happening makes sense, like, I love it, because it, you know, in a physical sense, we're always the underdog, the woman versus the man. You know, I mean, unless you tie a guy's hands to the back of his, you know, to his back, then okay, well, I may have an advantage. You know, and that's different. But that's why I'm trying to shed light into the fact that if done properly, like, any type of intergender action, if done properly, like, how can it not be believable? Like, you know, if it's a heel, a female character against a babyface male character, like, if putting those two very essential key things together, what would a heel female character do to make sure that her disadvantages, like logical disadvantages, a punch from me to him is going to be 10 times, you know, less effective than one punch from him to me, things like that. What would I do? What would I use my brain to do to, you know, to make up for that and all of those things? So logically, if intergender match is done properly with that in mind, then to me, in my opinion, it's something beautiful, because it's not something you see very often. Obviously, you know, you don't see women and men fighting in UFC fights, of course, and all of that stuff. So it's just something different. It's something different to create, and it's usually always a David and Goliath type of deal, but it could also turn in different ways. Like, I've actually done quite a lot of intergender matches where I'm the heel and the guy is the baby face, and mm-hmm. it works. The people will literally chant and like for the guy and things like that, because if it's done properly, like, no one cares. They don't see women versus men. They see characters. It's done right. Properly. I don't know. That's just kind of how I see it.
Awesome, awesome. I love when we get to talk, you know, wrestling philosophy. That's pretty cool. Now, you know, we're talking about intergender stuff. Well, let's go to, you know, non-intergender stuff. Female versus female. You're coming down here to Houston, Texas this weekend on the 12th, Sunday, and you're wrestling against one of our local heroes, Barbie Hayden, and another internet darling, I guess you could say, in Candice LeRae, in a triple threat match. Let me first ask you this. Have you faced either one of these two competitors before?
I have never faced Barbie. Candice, I faced her in two tag matches, and that was it. So, I did face Candice. I faced her in two tag matches, and I faced her in one match in New York, but it was a short match. So it wasn't damn you, Joey Ryan! he helped. But it was a short match, so we didn't really get to, like, actually really go at it. But it was great, and I've heard great things about Barbie Hayden, and I've seen and heard and know great things about Candice. So I'm looking forward to see how this turns out.
Yeah, that's always exciting when you have, you know, new competitors that you're going to be facing, especially if it's going to be at such a high level, because it is going to be for the Lone Star Women's title. Have you wrestled a lot in Houston or even the Texas area before?
Honestly, no.
Oh, okay. So this is going to be really. Like a new territory for you, I guess, huh?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, I guess that means if you were to be victorious in that match, that would be especially rare, you know, coming down here.
What do you mean if I were?
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
Okay. When you are victorious.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
I guess that means we'll get to see you more often. That's cool, because we haven't gotten to see you, you know, in this part of the country. So that's really cool. When that happens, how often do you think that we'll be able to see you? Are you just going to take off with the title and just leave Barbie hanging, or what's the plan here? What's going on in your head?
Well, I mean, obviously, when I get this title and add some more gold to my repertoire, I guess I will have to, you know, fulfill my duties as champion and, you know, attend whatever defenses I may be cast upon.
okay. Well, we really look forward to seeing you, and it's going to be an awesome match. If you never got a chance to fight Barbie, and if you fought Candice a few times, I'm sure it's going to be crazy to see. Both of those competitors are great, and you're great, so I'm really excited for it. You know, it's going to be kind of an all-day event, because not only is it just, you know, another wrestling show, it's, for charity, and there's going to be, you know, signings and stuff like that. Are you going to be a part of the signing period beforehand, or are you just wrestling?
Beforehand? I'm not quite sure the order of that, but I do know I'm there for the signing part as well.
Okay.
So I'll pretty much be all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy day. Well, awesome. Yeah. So people can still go and buy tickets at LoneStarWrestling.com. Come on out and come see Ivelisse and meet her and other stars from Lucha Underground. It's going to be great. We're going to get to the rest of the card and do a full rundown here later on in the show. But it's going to be awesome. Now, mm-hmm. Ivelisse, before I wrap things up, is there anything that you want to put over, like Facebook, Twitter, or anything, other dates or anything?
Well, with dates, not very, I don't have a lot to talk about when it comes to dates because I am returning from, a 6-month injury.
Right.
But other than Shine in Tampa, Ybor City, July 24th. I will be attempting to regain some more gold, of course. And it's the Shine Championship. And also, if you want to keep updated, I'm sure once I get up and running with and know for 100% that I'm 120%, then you know, with these two bookings, I will be getting real, real busy real soon. So you can keep updated with all of that at my Twitter, at Real Ivelisse, or Facebook, Ivelisse Blood 1.
Awesome, awesome. So everybody go out there and follow her. And hey, thanks so much for coming on. Yo, you know what? I you mentioned it there right before about your injury. Mm-hmm. And yeah, at the very beginning you said you're good to go. I guess is there anything extra that you want to throw on there other than the fact that you know, you're going to be ready for the fight on this weekend?
Well, I'll be ready.
Okay. Ready. All right.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I just, you know, sometimes we believe one thing and we're not, you know, when it comes to realization, it's not. So I just want to make sure I'm not being overconfident, which tends to be something that I'm told that I do very often. So I'm just going to confirm before I make myself real busy.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, injury or not, 100% or not, which I'm sure you are 100%, the match is going to be crazy out there. So, but again, hey, thank you so much for your time, for coming on to our show here. We are definitely going to see you this weekend, and hopefully all our listeners are going to go out and see you this weekend. So again, thank you, and I hope you have a good day.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you'd like to continue to support Houston Wrestling Radio, you could do so in a number of ways. First, if you downloaded us off of iTunes, hit the subscribe button. That way you get every new episode as soon as we upload them. Also, you could write a review as well as give us a rating. If you're listening to us on the Stitcher Radio app, hit the thumbs up button at the bottom of the app. If you want to just interact with us, you can do so on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter, at @HWrestlingRadio. You can also send us an email, HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com. And if you're able to support us monetarily, you could buy one of our awesome t-shirts designs at tpublic.com/user/HWRpodcast. Or if you'd like something different, like a phone case or a tote bag or a hoodie, you can do that at redbubble.com/people/HWR podcast. Again, thank you so much for your continued support, and enjoy the rest of the show.
This is Jeff.
This is Aaron.
And this is Deep in the Heart of Texas Podcast. If you like films that are full of blood, guts, and gore, and
whores, if you like boobs, if you like women, you like the Scream Queens, the Scream Kings,
Movie reviews,
and toys, and collectibles,
then look no further than this horror podcast.
Check us out on Facebook, social media sites, Podbean, iTunes.
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Bring the whores, we'll bring the funny.
And we will keep it scary.
Hey everybody, this is Chris. Do you ever feel nostalgic? You want to jump into that DeLorean and go back in time? Listen to our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. My friend Travis and I, we talk everything pop culture, movies, television, TV shows, games, video games. You think it, we talk about it. Pop Culture Rewind at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Find us on Twitter at popculturerwnd. And as Travis always says, don't forget to pop your culture.
Hey, this is Buff Bagwell, and guess what? I'm buff, I'm the stuff, and the girls still can't get enough. And if you're anybody, you'll be listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, where I'm going to show you why I'm buff and why I'm the stuff.
All right, guys, we are back. Thank you so much for sticking through after the commercial break, and then, you know, the interview with Ivelisse. That was really fun. It was cool getting a chance to talk to her. And you know, I hope everybody gets to go out and go meet her this weekend. Sunday.
Are we going, or is it?
I'm going. Are you going?
Are you going?
Yeah.
In fact, we're gonna have a table, you know, set up.
Good to know.
Yeah. By the way,
Bullet Club T-shirt.
Bullet Bill Club T-shirt.
That too. Yeah, Bullet Bill Club T-shirt.
Not really the same thing, but yeah. All right. So, it's gonna be pretty cool. You know, I want to give out a little bit more info, more detailed info to help put over the show. After all, like, this is for charity, you know, the organization called Busting for Autism. They do autism awareness stuff, right. But they also send like kids with autism to camp. So that's a really cool thing that they actually do. You know, sometimes when you say raise awareness, it's kind of nebulous and vague, or whatever. But they're actually doing something there with helping, you know, kids with autism and stuff like that. Actually doing something, so that's really cool. So it's definitely for a good cause. You know, like we mentioned before, you can go to LoneStarWrestling.com to buy tickets. Also, they're sponsor, their main sponsor, business partner, Clutch City Productions.
Clutch City! Yeah!
There you go, ClutchCityProductions.com as well, and find some more info there. Ringside tickets are going to be $25, also for floor tickets. There's a $15 general admission, and there's also a $10 general admission for kids 12 and under. Now, this card is pretty cool.
Spill it!
Yeah, all right, here we go. We're going to have a Lone Star Heavyweight title match. The new champion, John Saxon, is going to be defending against Ricky Starks. You remember the guy
that ate the stuff from Ryback.
The chicken salad, I believe. Got chicken salad.
He had a
right
great match at Inspire Pro in Austin.
He did. He frequently has great matches at other places, but he doesn't come to Houston quite as much. When we get to see him, it's a nice little treat.
Yeah.
So Ricky Starks versus John Saxon. So that's going to be cool. Then we're going to have, you know, an ECW original versus a New Japan Pro Wrestling wrestler. Right now,
you got Travis's attention.
Yeah, Tommy,
he put down his phone.
Tommy Dreamer versus Lance Hoyt. Or Lance Archer, you know, if you want to call him that. And then, of course, this has been several months in the making, with this thing going on between Colt Cabana and the Maharaja.
Oh my god, yeah.
Colt Cabana versus the Maharaja Raj Singh. Apparently, Chris is very, very excited for that.
Raj Singh's gonna be there! Yeah.
Now, this one I think is also worth the price of admission alone. Rey Death Row.
Done.
Versus Supermex Hernandez.
Well, since the ring's gonna be destroyed after that match, that's gonna be the last match.
Yeah, right? There probably can't be any other matches after that.
If that match doesn't destroy the ring, there, I heard somebody else is also gonna be at this show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Who's that?
Keep greeting.
Well, okay. All right. you know, we just mentioned also, you know, the women's match, of course, obviously, Barbie Hayden versus Ivelisse versus Candice LeRae. Mm. So that's going to be pretty cool. The Lone Star Cruiserweight Championship is up for grabs. We interviewed Cherry Ramon last week, and he is putting up the title against Joey Ryan.
Whore off. Yeah. Well, deep in the horror of Texas, special edition.
I think they're calling it a sleaze off, but okay, if you want to, we could do that. The Lone Star Tag Team titles are also going to be up for grabs, and that's actually going to be in a four-way match. So four teams. We're going to have the Sons of Texas versus the Empire versus Real Nigeria, Hambone and Chaz Taylor. Versus the odd team of Dave Super Duperon and Americos, which...
Who's Americos?
Americos is the guy that wears the American mask, you know. You know, he's a luchador, but he's American. America. You would know that he's
because 4th of July already passed, right. So his patriotism's out the window.
Oh, I see here. All right.
There's enough work for one day, okay?
Well, there's also going to be various appearances from, you know, other, Lone Star wrestlers, you know, like Shane Taylor, Keith Lee.
That's the ring breaker.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think a show over the weekend, Keith Lee left Raymond Rowe face down in the mat.
Really?
Yeah, so there might be some follow-up to that.
Oof-ta.
Yeah.
And, you know, before the actual matches start, there's going to be, like, a signing period there where people will be getting autographs and stuff. So we're having appearances by Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Norton, Gene Snitsky, and Katrina. Gene Snitsky.
Leave your babies at home, ladies.
Okay. It's not his fault. Mm. And Katrina. Yes. So yeah, that's gonna be cool. And then of course the main event of the night is Alberto El Patron. We'll be taking on a local hero, one of the best guys that's in the indie scene here in Texas, Houston Carson, the Houston Lion, is gonna cut his teeth with the AAA Mega Champion, Alberto El Patron. So that is a heck of an opportunity and a heck of a match for Houston Carson. We're getting to see Alberto come out here and fight in the Houston area. You know, Pasadena. It's going to be at Pasadena Convention Center. That's going to be real cool. So I'm really looking forward to this event. It should be freaking awesome.
When does it start?
I believe that doors open for the signing at 3 p.m. As far as the actual wrestling itself, I'm not exactly sure what time bell time is. But the whole shebang, that sounds about right. Six or seven.
It was either six. Get there at six. You'll be fine.
Yeah. We'll get there.
No, get there at three to sign.
Get there at three for the signing. Like I said, we're going to have a table set up. Come say hi to us and, maybe buy a shirt or something. And,
Or two or three, whichever.
Or, 15.
They're absorbent.
Yeah. They make for great towels and... whatnot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, come check us out. There's going to be other, from what I understand, other vendors and other attractions to see and stuff. So it's going to be a big old all day event. So it's not just come for a wrestling show
or us.
Come and enjoy everything.
Although coming for us is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Come on. Mm-hmm. So that's that. So yeah, awesome. And again, another big thank you to Gilbert from Clutch City Productions for hooking us up with the awesome interview with Ivelisse.
He's the man.
Yep.
If he can't do it, you're going to struggle to find somebody else.
All right. What do we got next?
We're going to just bubble up this entire WWE conglomerate into one section. We're going to start with NXT on Wednesday.
Okay.
Or the network.
Right.
Which was basically the main event. Tag match?
No, there's a few matches, but yeah, the main event is probably, as far as star power goes, it's what you wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor and
Samoan
versus Rhino and Owens.
That's a lot of meat.
Abel's attention.
That's a butcher's delight right there.
Where's the beef? NXT, right there. Yeah, that's the beat.
Calm down, Abel.
Oof-ta.
It was fun. I mean, as much as we like the dominating singles run of Joe that he's had at Ring of Honor and TNA, it's easy to forget. He's a pretty good tag worker. He had good stuff with Kurt Angle. He had some good stuff with AJ Styles, most recently with Magnus. He's a good tag wrestler, and the stuff with Finn looked fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a tease in that match. They had, I think it was Owens, in for a muscle buster. And it was in one corner, and while he was setting him up for the muscle buster, Balor was getting on the other turnbuckle for the coup de grace. So they were setting up for a muscle buster into the coup de grace. Yeah. That would have been delicious.
Yeah, it would have. I did see, that part where they were teasing that. But for the most part, I kind of looked at the match, And before it even happened, the match was good. Don't get me wrong. I kind of saw it again as a throwaway. You know, like, okay, yeah, these two are going to...
They're building right, for Japan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, if it's all the same to you, let's get to that. Japan, no, yes.
Domo.
All right.
What do you guys want to start with first?
You know what? I got to throw this out there. My match of the week pick until Monday was Balor versus Owens. I still want to say it might be my pick, but I think you guys might be able to sway me depending on how we feel about Monday. But man, I was thinking after watching that match, Owens versus Finn, híjole, I loved it. I loved the match so much.
It had its moments. It was. I love the build up to it. We all saw the WWE marketing Finn Balor for this hometown return pretty much. And they played it up pretty good. The good reactions. My one nitpick on anything for Balor, especially the entrance, is will they please stop cutting angles right before he does the little pose? They're like following him throughout the whole entrance, and then right before he jumps up to do the pose with lights and everything, which looks really cool, they cut to like a big wide shot of the whole arena.
Man.
They did it every single time. They did the two on the entrance ramp, and they did on the turnbuckle. Yeah. It's just annoying. I like to see that. And
yeah.
They're taken away from me. I don't like it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a nitpick. It's not part of, you know, anything else.
Yeah. But, I mean, if they're doing that every time, I don't know if you can nitpick it for it. That match.
They're doing it a lot. I've noticed it on NXT.
Again, production, Kevin Dunn. Forget him.
Yeah. Go retire. Yeah. So, but the match itself, a lot of big back and forth with, I love the fact that they both counted out their finishers.
Yes. Yeah,
that was important, I think. And, but by this point, we're familiar with
it. I was so impressed with the fact that Finn could get Owens in that, like, reverse DDT finisher that he's been using. Have they named that move yet?
I don't think so. Was that one of his moves in New Japan?
I don't think so. But I was thinking, well, the only thing he's going to be able to do to him is a coup de grace. But when he actually, well, he first teased getting him up in that other finisher.
He teased it tag match on NXT, too. Mm-hmm. But I will say, when he did get him up, to his credit, Michael Cole did put that over.
Yes.
Like, that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's something.
Yeah. Chris, opinion.
I'm going to take a big crap on this show.
Well, on the match or the show?
A lot of it has to do with that.
Okay.
They did a damn good job promoting the Beast of the East. Brock Lesnar showing up to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then this match. And it kind of took away from me the fact that we pretty much had a dark match as the main event of a show that wasn't even, like, built. Like, if we're going to dog TNA for half-assing pay-per-views and not knowing the main event until the time we get there, I thought it was complete BS that we couldn't get what we got out of Balor Owens as the last match of the night. I mean, literally.
Yes.
They walk out, Balor's throat, and Balor gets all the little the streamers and everything. The shot of them throwing all the streamers, like the whole Japanese vibe.
Right? Yes.
Their style, their crowd, their fans, right down to their ceremony, their traditions with the flowers, handing them to the champion and the competitor.
And all Owens that tossing stuff, the and Owens
dude, all that was perfect.
Yes.
Why in the blue hell did that not close the show?
I agree.
That's a good question.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Why did that not? You know,
it should have.
This was something that New Japan would have probably put as their main event the way they treated this. And
anybody would have.
And the fact that we got all this nice pomp and pageantry and then we get the replays, then, oh, hey, applesauce. We get this throwaway. What the hell's Barrett doing with Kane?
I have no idea. It made no sense.
Of all throwaway matches, that was pretty thrown together.
It was a throwing away in this.
If you need to put your American Superman out there, you could have easily done that at the opening of the second hour, and then have
swap the two matches. And then have, the last hour is just two matches.
Have the Lesnar raping, you know, the whole Missouri thing, and then after that, go in the main event mode. That would have been like the perfect way to like present the show.
The booking is all out of order on this.
Yeah, and it kind as the match went on, I was like, wow. What's following this? When I saw it, and it was like 50 minutes left on the show, I was like, wow, WWE's really got some nuts. They're going to give them 50 minutes in Japan.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how long are they going to go? How are they going to the match was paced and the way it was going. I was like, wow, are they going to really be able to keep this pace up for 50 minutes?
Yeah.
And then like 25 minutes left, the match is over. I was like, whoa, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, wait, there's more? It's like, wait.
Barrett?
Who told me this was happening? Because there was no badass video for this.
No. There
this was basically built as Lesnar and Balor.
Right.
You know, and real quick, while we were on this topic of the whole production of this, I was never really behind it, and now I'm really not behind it now that I've seen the show. But calling it Beast in the East?
Yes.
That right there should not, that shouldn't even be the name of the event.
Right.
It was
because you're focusing everything on a match that's pretty much everybody knows is going to be a squash match.
Right. All for the sake of he wanted to be there for a free ride to Japan, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that this is also a candidate for me, and it's I'm still trying to juggle which is going to be my pick. Have we done talked about Balor Owens already?
Well, I talked a little bit about it. That's kind of what got
us here. Okay,
candidate.
Let's move on.
What about you?
Candidate.
Okay, what about you?
Candidate.
Okay.
Now that we jumped on the Lesnar train, let's jump on the Lesnar train. I was disappointed in that match.
Lesnar versus Kofi?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see how you could be disappointed when I don't think you should have even had any expectations. It's Lesnar versus Kofi. Of course, it's just going to be Lesnar hot-dogging it out there. Do a couple of moves. 1, 2, 3, we're done. Let's go home.
Here's the thing. You're building up 5 episodes of Raw that Lesnar has to deal with Kane, Rollins, Kane, Rollins, and J&J. 4 guys.
All right.
So what better way to build that up than to actually have Kofi with the New Day out there and having to see Lesnar focus on all 3 of them rather than just a one-on-one raping of Kofi, which he didn't even sell on Monday.
I hated that so much. He should have sold it
from
on Monday.
From the beginning, it should have been Lesnar versus all 3, Lesnar trying to get his hands on Kofi and just distractions. Whether it's Big E moving his boobs or the other one on the ringside just shouting obscenities, just trying to distract him to let Kofi get more of an upper hand. You're going to promote Beast in the East, Lesnar showing up to Japan, at least have him there for more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
Or less than that. They could have really showcased that, okay, if Lesnar can beat up all 3 of these guys at the same time and leave with a win, Rollins really needs to worry for Battleground.
Yeah, that would have been better booking.
And they didn't do any of that, dude. Mm-mm. It literally felt
like...
It wasn't
until the very end that they came out, right?
I hate to say it, but there were vibes of Slammiversary where this was like the SmackDown version of Raw. Because nothing happened after it. Like, no one sold it. Other than the fact that Owens came out and bitched that he lost and wanted to fight Cena, what really happened, what repercussions from Tokyo actually appeared on the next episode of Raw? Nothing.
Here's the issue.
Except for the NXT stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the issue that it's being overlooked. Especially Miguel too.
Okay, what's that?
This has been said before. I'll reiterate. This was a house show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Granted, it was on the network, but when does anything have repercussions? Unless there's a title change. When is there repercussions? When does anybody sell anything from a house show to Raw? Never.
Yeah. But I think they tried to make it more than what it was.
They tried to. And on that aspect, I don't think it was a win. I think it was a fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I would like to see them do this more often. Like, I'd like to see them try this again in Mexico, in Canada, in the UK. I'd like to see that happen again. Do it a little bit better. The show as a whole had flaws.
Did you see on the titling, it said Beast in the East 2015?
No.
It was on, the start of the show.
I didn't notice that.
Graphics pop up and everything. It said Beast in the East 2015.
Oh, so Lesnar's going to... make a yearly trip to Japan, I guess.
Again, that goes back to naming it Beast in the East. Yeah. Now you kind of paint yourself in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what they're going with, but it should have been. I don't know. There's the production of everything, the marketing, everything was just off on this.
Yeah.
I appreciate and one thing that's been we haven't really stayed on this time, but I appreciate the fact that they went for it.
Yes,
a live show.
Kudos, 4:30 in the morning.
Yep,
you know. If you're trying to compare yourself as the best company in the world and you've got competition in Japan that do it...
And you have the means for your hardcore fans to watch something live... Whenever.
Just like their competition in their territory have the exact same means. You're going to play ball, you're going to swing with both hands.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they did. So the effort they executed the effort well.
Yeah.
But again, you write stuff down on paper. Oh man, it looks pretty. You put it on television, it ain't always going to be that way.
Yeah.
Solid match again. Solid match of the week contender for freaking Neville. I mean Neville Thank Jericho.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a solid opener.
I was waiting for y'all to say something.
Yeah.
About that.
Solid opener.
Yeah. That was a great opener, and it was I wasn't expecting Jericho, and then he pops out, and him and Neville were good. It was good.
20-minute match or something. Yeah. It was like 20-25. It was a long match.
Yeah.
As soon as Jericho walked out, I was overwhelmed by the pop he got from the Japanese crowd.
Oh, yeah.
From there, I knew we were in for, at least from that, it raised my expectation for that show.
And he won.
And he won.
With the Lion Tamer. That was
even
better. Yeah. But that whole
and
match.
Cole calling a Lion Tamer. Yes. That was great.
Yeah. So,
and Divas Triple Threat.
It wasn't so bad.
It wasn't that bad.
It might not have been, but with all the stuff that I wanted, what I was anticipating to see, that was like the bottom burner. So I skipped it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was okay.
But you got in your head that it's going to be a missable match.
Yeah.
But for what it was, I saw them going. There was some back and forth stuff in that Triple Threat match. So
it was decent.
Yeah, not so bad.
But okay, the match itself again. Finn versus Owens, taking away all the other extracurricular stuff, all the other things that we just whined and bitched about. I think that match itself could be my match of the week pick if it wasn't for Monday.
Well, let's go to Monday.
Cena versus Cesaro. Oof-ta. Man. Okay, I know last week you guys were saying that I really needed to watch Cena versus Cesaro.
Don't worry about
it. Yeah, I don't think I need to go back and watch that one because I think this one was damn good enough. Well, was it better than last week's? That's my question.
The one thing that I like more about this match than last week's is we had ending on this one.
Ah.
That wasn't his qualification or count out or whatever. Mm-hmm. BS. But yeah, my only... If I had to really like rate this against other matches for Match of the Weeks, the only downfall I could see on this one, two commercial breaks. Which kind of makes it feel not as important as what it was or as the other ones were.
Mm-hmm,
or what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because those commercial breaks, it takes
there are details that we would miss.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had enough fast forward juice that even come the main event, I had, you know, I could blow through the commercials on that. But
what I'm saying is, we're missing that. We don't have that televised to watch.
Yeah.
So, but the stuff that we did see,
from jump, Chicago has a history of putting a brighter spotlight on people that don't normally would get it at another place like Wichita Falls.
Yeah.
I would like to think that the WWE universe as a whole is going to look at Cesaro a whole lot differently after he literally put Owens in his place.
Yeah, right before.
Whatever charisma that we had never seen from him as Antonio Cesaro or with Oksana or with the Intercontinental title or with Heyman, whatever, that one missing piece, I think we all found it on Monday.
Yes.
Good freaking Lord. I wasn't seeing that coming at all. At all. And I'm sold now. I had a couple of chips over here and I had most of my money there. I'm all in now.
Yeah.
Cesaro. Oh yeah.
It kind of makes you wonder what plans they have for him.
I don't know.
I've said it. I've joked about it.
Yeah.
The kid's injured. There goes Cesaro.
Yeah.
But hey, they're actually using him. So they're proving me wrong.
Main event on Raw.
Yeah.
Against
Cena. In a marquee town.
Against Cena.
Against Cena.
And just not to reiterate too much, but I mean, the fact that ever since Owens debuted on Raw, he's been running roughshod with his mouth, you know, being a bully, things like that, being just overbearing pretty much. Mm-hmm. And for Cesaro to come out in a single promo, put him in his place, and not even to like back talk or look back or anything, it's like, all right, I'm out. I'm sorry, sir.
You win this round.
I will see you at some other late. Apologies.
Bye.
He steps out of the ring, walks away. You said that this promo is powerful. Owen selling that promo was just as powerful, I think.
Right.
And I think him, Owens, and Cena all came out on top. I mean, all came out looking better than what they are. Because Cena, for the most part, Cesaro wasn't wrestling himself.
No, he wasn't.
So,
Cena's consistently been doing things that we don't normally see him do.
And for better or worse.
Well, that's what I was about to say. We've been complaining a lot about the Springboard Stunner, but if you take that out of the equation, which I think he pretty much did with the fact that when he did it, he botched it. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is the beginning of the end for that. But what I loved about that instance is that even though he botched it, Cole and JBL did not hesitate to say, I don't think he got all of it.
Yeah.
Great. That was the best way to handle that. And they did that like twice in the match. There was some other thing that was, oh, it was the pop-up European uppercut. Oh, man, if he would have hit him on the jaw, he would have got him on the jaw, but he got him in the chest. Like, oh, that was great. That was a great way of the commentator. And I can't believe I'm complimenting Cole and JBL. That was a great way for the commentators.
We're going to get to the commentators later.
Oh, yeah.
I think the finale of this match, the back and forth on top of the turnbuckle there.
Tease for neutralizer. Oh.
That was going to be sick if he was able to do that. The crowd reaction, waiting for that. Seeing Chris's reaction, waiting for that.
How many times did Cesaro counter out of the attitude adjustment, and in how many different ways? He must have countered out of it at least four or five times. You counted four? And it was a different way each single time. And even when he finally did hit it, he kicked out at two. Man, that was the best performance I've seen against countering out of Cena's attitude adjustment
Even not even that, when they were mat wrestling, just going for submissions, the reversals into those.
Big swing into a sharpshooter, and then he tried to put a crossface after that. Jeez, that was great.
Still crippled me.
Yeah.
But he did the crossface twice, though.
He did the crossface twice, and at one time it was actually countered out into an attitude STFU.
And that's another nitpick I have, and I was telling Chris about this earlier. It's like Cena likes to reverse too much, because that hurts him, right?
Right.
So it's one thing to reverse like a punch or kick or something or.
I'd like to see Cena reach for the rope and get a rope break.
Instead of reversing a submission hold into his own submission. It's like when he does that, when he reverses a crossface into STFU or whatever.
Then I want everybody. I should expect everybody to just.
Well, not only that, it negates the effects of selling that you've been in a submission hold.
Yeah.
So when he just turns it, that's the one thing I don't like about Cena's. Not one thing, but one of the things.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Let's get down to the nitty gritty on this. What is it, Chris? How do you feel? Match of the week? Yay or nay?
I'm going Owens Balor.
All right. Travis, match of the week?
It is really a toss up between this match and Owens Balor.
But fuck AJ and Cole. No, I'm sticking with Balor. Balor Owens. Yeah.
I was, originally going to this, I was going to say Cena Cesaro. But I believe that was my match last week.
Okay.
So, Owens Balor for me this week.
Oh, you guys. Because that's what I was still leaning towards. Owens Balor. So, we're all picking Owens Balor. That means we have to open up this line of questioning. Match of the year candidate worthy. Yes or no?
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh! All three thumbs up. Wow. Nice. Hot dog, we have a wiener. Another match of the year candidate this year to throw onto the list.
Hey, someone liked
it. Yeah, we're getting hearts over here for on the Periscope. Thank you. So, yes, we need to write that one down and add it to our list.
Doing it right now.
It's been, what, at least two or three months?
It's been months.
Two or three.
Like, we had a flurry in January, and then it kind of tapered off.
We've been anticipating a title win for... We've been saying it, like, when Balor debuted, Tommy debuted, I said, they're hot shotting Balor.
Yeah.
They're doing more of a slow build for Tommy. But, which Tommy was in the crowd, by the way, watching all
this.
Yes,
he was.
But Balor winning the title, that it's expected. It was well received, I think.
I want to throw this out here as my deciding factor between Cena Cesaro and Owens Balor. Cena Cesaro, even though there was a lot of close call moments where I held my breath, where I thought, oh my God, Cesaro might actually win this, for the most part, the entire time I was thinking, of course Cena's going to win and retain because he's got to defend the U.S. title against Owens in a few weeks. Whereas with Balor and Owens, I thought all the build for Balor, the video package, the documentary, the fact that he's in his hometown, I'm thinking, you know what? He's got too much behind him. They're going to have him lose. So in my mind, I really thought Finn was going to lose. But then when he won, I was so surprised. So I was genuinely not sure who was going to win in that match. So yeah. I think that might be the deciding factor for
me. And I think for me, that might hinder whatever my opinion will be of Cena Owens, because I think the spontaneity of the U.S. Open Challenge will be worthless if he loses it in a planned match that's been built up for weeks.
Yes, that's like, a good point.
If Cena defends successfully at Battleground, I don't want to see him on a pay-per-view defending this belt. This needs to be every week, spontaneous, against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if he loses on Raw to Cesaro,
yeah,
or if he loses it to Sami Zayn, or if he loses it to Zack Ryder, or if he loses it to Samoa Joe, it'll feel organic and it'll feel spontaneous. You won't have that thought of, oh man, he's defending in 4 weeks. He ain't gonna lose tonight.
Yeah.
And that already, even though you're not supposed to, we're human. That's already gonna debate in whether, hey, you know, am I gonna sit down and watch this? Or am I gonna fast forward the first commercial break? Or am I gonna just skip to the last minute? Or am I just gonna just pass and see what else is gonna come up, depending on who the opponent is?
Yeah.
We're not human. We're wrestling fans, so we know more than you. We know everything. We know everything, Chris.
We know better.
All right, so that was the high point of Raw, I'd say.
There's another high point.
What? They're okay, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
You had the appearance of Hagger. Yeah.
Of Hagger?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was more like Ryu.
Well, Ryu, it's all hands. Final fight, no, you get man. Weapons.
No, oh. man. E Honda.
For people not understanding our video game references, what are you talking about?
Brock Lesnar going ham on that Cadillac. I told you, if it would have been supercharged, they would have kept it. It was stock. Like, what's a stock Cadillac?
It wasn't stock after they already put the, you know, the
speed holes.
Yeah, speed holes. Speed holes. The redneck racing stripes, the exhaust. Did you see the redneck camel racing stripe?
Yes,
really?
Yes.
Yeah, and the redneck bumper sticker on the front windshield is not even a bumper sticker; it's on the windshield.
It's a visor.
Yeah,
visor.
It's like a tint visor.
Right. Ah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't know because
it's a thing, Abel.
Ah,
it's the hipster thing.
Ah, yeah. I see.
So $55,000 later, and one broken arm.
It was more or less like now $20,000-$25,000.
Yeah. All right. Last week, you guys were saying, man, why wasn't this card destroyed tonight?
Well,
it was destroyed this week. Man, once I got that feeling of J&J are driving around and they're modifying the car and putting their own decorations on it, I thought, you know what? Forget it. I want them to hold on to that car for months. And it like put... Jack it up on monster truck tires.
Borrow JBL's horns from the limo.
Yeah, put the Confederate flag on the top, even though it's Confederate flag. Like, I wanted them to go, like, every week, have this car get more and more ridiculous, and every week, J&J security become more and more attached to it. That way, when Lester finally does get his hands on it,
it over like a big cow.
Yeah.
And then, like, 80,000 people die, as opposed to just one fan getting hit with a doorknob.
Yeah. So, I feel like they didn't strike that balance. Either they should have destroyed it last week, right from the get-go,
or drug it
out. And we got it 1 week. Okay, alright, fine. That's kind of how I feel about it. It was still fun watching Lesnar destroy it, and it was fun seeing him hit the fan with the car door.
It was supercharged.
I told Chris this. I got nervous when I saw those axes.
And I know exactly what point, too. Lesnar hits the top pillar of the rear door, and it like bounces back on him, and he's got the point. He's sitting on your side now, like, oh god,
dude. There's so many times when he was just going at it, and I think you mentioned it to me when I was talking about this. He's a Goldberg. You don't remember that?
What did Goldberg do? I don't remember that.
WCW. He was breaking windows with his hand and broke his hand.
Yeah,
and that wound up delaying a lot of the booking, and that might have been the beginning of the end for Goldberg's career in WCW.
Didn't something similar happen with Taz when he first came to WWE, where JR was in a car and he hits the car windshield and it breaks and it cuts up. JR.
Well, that's not the same as Goldberg's breaking his head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the point is, I got nervous because I didn't know with Lesnar's dangerous enough as it is, intended or unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
You put an axe, two axes. You can put two axes. It's even
worse by axe.
Yeah.
Okay, reference that nobody will get. He definitely looks like a barbarian from Diablo 3 with the dual wielding axes.
I get it.
All right, thank you.
Cricket. cricket.
Shut up.
Playing to the character's positives, knowing that he is a serious hunter. I kind of like the fact that they got aspects of that. You know, he works on a farm. He owns a farm. He likes to hunt in the winter. You know, being able to see a side of Brock, it looked like him being himself. He legitimately, again, if they look like they're interested or if they look like they're having a good time, I can't help it. And the eating grin that Lesnar had after he had destroyed that car, I was like, this guy feels right at home right about now.
Yeah. Let's
get back. I kind of, okay. After the fear of him stabbing himself in the head with the axe, I enjoyed the whole segment.
Even right. Then, when JJ came out and tried to take him down. That was even more just fun and disastrous.
Oh, yeah. Thing.
And he did the Kimura lock, breaking, quote-unquote, his arm. But, you know, and I was telling Chris, it's like, when you see that in the moment, seeing Lesnar do the Kimura in like in a brawl type atmosphere, that looks sick. But when you do it yes. Like when you do it like five times in a match against Triple H
as a submission hold,
yeah. As a submission hold,
either break his arm, hump him, or do something else.
Yeah, and then the Suplex City onto the windshield.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Even with the crowd chanting Suplex City.
Yeah.
Speaking of the crowd.
What did we not hear from the crowd? Apparently.
From Chicago.
Because
they were in Chicago.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, we got a cheap pop from Paul Heyman saying that it was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that being said, no CM Punk chance.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it
damn
too.
Damn time. If they can get over it, I hope the rest of the world can get over the fact that he quit.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like he got screwed or anything. He
took his ball and went home.
Pretty much, yeah.
He has a lot of money. He has AJ in the bedroom, and now he's fighting for UFC.
He's doing all right.
Yeah. You worry about paying your bills. He'll worry about doing his thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Most likely, he'll probably get beaten his first match in the first round, 3 minutes in, by submission. Oh, well. Still better than working at a bank.
I would hate to be that person.
Oh,
I
know, man. Terrible.
Same here.
Bastards. Jerks.
Anyway.
So, yeah, what else? What else happened on Raw? Is there any?
Ah, Travis coined a beautiful phrase.
Well, I noticed something during the match. It was Paige versus Brie, mm-hmm. I believe, right?
Yeah.
And with the entrances, we had Brie come out with, of course, Nikki,
mm-hmm.
And they also were accompanied by Alicia Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed something.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of dressing alike. I don't know why Alicia's dressing like the Bellas, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed something towards the end. We have a champion who can't be stopped, who has other members helping her win matches, and they're growing in numbers. This, my friends, is the debut or the beginnings of the BWO.
BWO.
The Bella World Order. We have the champ, Nikki, or Hollywood Nikki.
Shut up, Chris.
We have, let's see, Razor Brie, I guess. And then we have Alicia Nash.
The one with the long legs.
Big Alicia Fox.
Yeah, who might tear a quad at any match. Yeah, right.
That's what I'm doing right now. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But man, they're all, look, I mean, when they came into the ring after, by the way, Paige lost, lol. They're in the ring, and they all raise their hands. I'm like, man, this is, you might as well have new shirts with the BWO on it.
I was waiting for fans to throw stuff in the ring. Right. Like, boo!
Wow.
But seriously, why is Alicia dressed like a Bella? I don't.
That makes about as much sense as a big black guy at ringside with a Brie Mode shirt.
Thank you. Yes, it does. I do not understand that at all.
You caught that too, huh?
No, I didn't catch it.
I was like, man, right. Lamar Odom's a Brie Mode fan? God. Damn, Chloe's a lot better off with James Harden.
Not to judge anybody for wearing a Brie Bella shirt, whether you're man or woman or whatever. this is a bad shirt. I mean, it's just, yeah, yeah. Of all shirts to buy, you're just
and then you see that shirt and you think of that awful entrance music.
Yes, that's the B team for NWA.
Bello World Order. Wow,
that's a nice name for an episode title.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we might have an episode title.
There we go.
Yeah.
So anyway, how about the awesome match between Titus and JBL?
So you didn't want it, you don't want me to play that for you. You wanted us to talk about it, but I had to have you watch it.
Yes.
Because, oh my dear. You remember it was like 2 or 3 years ago when primetime players were first, after they split from what's-his-face?
Abraham Washington.
Yeah, Abraham Washington.
And we finally got them on the mic on the commentary. We're like, holy crap.
By themselves.
Yeah, why have they been talking before?
Why did they have a mouthpiece to start off with?
Yeah.
They don't need it.
We got more of that here.
Yes.
And there's the verbal exchange between him and JBL. I don't know how much was scripted and how much was off the cuff. Because there were times when he was trying to throw jabs at JBL, and JBL wasn't playing it.
Yeah.
There was silence.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I don't know what's going on here, but I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how much of that like got out of hand and ventured into the shoot territory there. But if it was, awesome.
But
if it wasn't, awesomer.
Let's talk about, because the fans missed it or fast forward or didn't watch it. Okay.
New Day against Lucha Dragons.
And of course,
which was a decent little match.
Primetime players were out there just... wanted to,
commentary.
Yeah, and observe their competition, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, and this is where I think it was started off as a script work, whatever. But JBL kept going off about Seth Rollins and the running around the streets of Chicago, not paying attention.
Security with
the
car.
Like literally not even paying attention. And Titus called him out on it. It's like, hey, there's guys fighting in the ring right now.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with a $55,000 Cadillac?
Yeah. And then I think JBL said one more thing. About the Seth Rollins thing, and then Titus went on him again.
Oh, he went off. He started like calling moves and then saying, well, I'm over here having to do your job for you. Oh,
call a match! Here's a match!
Here's a pin! Here's a pin! 1, 2, 3. See, I'm doing it better than you can. Like, oh, that's not my job. Like, it is your job. Oh, holy crap.
It's obviously not your job because you ain't doing it.
I was.
You big dummy.
I was definitely more entertained. I was like focused on what was going on off stage or off camera.
Yes. This is
we're
great.
Getting the battle of the acronyms for SummerSlam. Primetime players PTP against the APA.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Not likely. But still, that was fun.
But wait a second. Before, let's throw out another reminder there. Anybody that's watching on the Periscope, yeah, you guys, I'm talking to you. You still have a few more seconds to get in last second votes. Go to.
We got your vote, Jimmy.
Yeah. Houston Wrestling Radio, Facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio. Go on there and put your votes for HWR Showdown. So, We'll get to that here as soon as we're done talking about Raw. We'll tally up the votes and whatnot. Okay, so.
And by the way, New Day versus Lucha, that was a good match.
It was a good match. It was pretty good. I mean, Titus and JBL, you know, I don't want to say it took away from the match. I think it was like two separate things that were going on. And it was all good.
It could have, it did distract from the match, but at the same time, once the climax of the match was happening, it did focus back on the match.
Yeah.
And, the outside stuff. With the suplex out for Kalisto, and
yes.
when they moved out of the way for
Sin Cara just slammed it splat on the mat,
ate the dirt. Yeah, so that was a fun match too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else we got?
That's it for Raw. That's basically it.
That's it.
Four topics. Yeah.
Hmm.
We could come back around for my one last nit to pick about NXT.
Okay, what's that?
I don't know if this pertains to you as much. I don't know if it pertains to you. Do you remember the time where Metallica was still like the little band that only you liked and it was special because everybody else didn't know what it was, and then the Black Album came out and everybody's like, oh my God, Metallica's best thing since sliced bread.
Yes.
And yeah. Well, it's official. NXT is no longer our in the back pocket. They announced the next TakeOver special the night before SummerSlam in the same arena.
Yeah,
in the same arena, Barclays, which holds like 18,000, 19,000, depending
something
on the
like
setup.
That, yeah,
that's yeah.
That's it. That's a big test run.
Yeah, that weekend, going head to head against Ring of Honor in the Field of Honor show that mm-hmm. they're having at Citi Field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with New Japan guys too.
You know, it's funny. I thought about something earlier when I was watching the Beast and the East thing with the main event, the real main event. I think there was a couple of indie guys that were coming on and we wanted to see them in NXT before or the developmental or whatever, and they didn't want to go on there because they didn't want to spend time in developmental or NXT. You know, they said, why can't I just go right on to the main show? Now it's like, I think it's like reversed now. It's like, now it's like you want to be in NXT as opposed to maybe Raw or whatever, the main roster. And I think it's just funny how the dynamics of the whole NXT brand has evolved into it's where you want to be. So I it was just an evaluation thing that I had in my head earlier. I just wanted to get that out.
All right.
Carry on.
That's pretty much it. So.
All right. So I guess we're done for the week.
Yeah, for the most part.
All right. Well, then I guess we could get to the second week of the first round
showdown
of HWR SummerSlam Showdown. Okay. Yeah. Did we get any extra votes in the last few minutes or so?
We got one more. I need to find it.
Okay.
But I did see the notification that we just got one.
All right. So just to send out a reminder, this is what we have for this week. We have two matchups. The first one is HBK Razor going up against HBK Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, what's this one here? RVD versus Jeff Hardy going up against
Taker Mankind Boiler Broom Raw from 96.
Oof-ta. So, yeah, that's what we got coming up.
So far, for the first matchup, HBK Razor, ladder match for the Intercontinental title, it's up by 3 votes with 3 of us.
All right. Travis,
Abel,
what is your pick for that round there?
Is HBK versus HBK Razor or HBK Triple H?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the HBK there. Are they both ladder matches?
No. HBK okay. Triple H was a street fight.
That's
HBK's
right. That's
first match back since his back surgery.
All right. So this might surprise you.
Okay.
My pick out of these two. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be the one with Shawn Michaels in it.
Ah,
no, it's gonna be
He stuttered, so the delivery wasn't.
Yeah,
working
yeah.
I messed that one up. Yeah, right. HBK versus Triple H, 2003 or 2002, excuse me. SummerSlam,
the street fight.
Yeah,
with Triple H. Okay, why?
The build up to that. Again, we all know the history of Shawn Michaels. He was out for 5 years, the back injury. Never thought he'd come back. I remember vividly watching that match on pay-per-view. Like, nervous for Shawn Michaels. Because at the time, work or shoot, we didn't know how well he was.
Yeah.
So, as a wrestling fan who really, you know, loved him as a performer. And I was actually nervous for him. Because I didn't know what was going on. And then that match they pulled out.
45 minutes, bro.
Street fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... damn good match, and just everything that went into it, the build up to that match, you know, the commentators, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler to an extent, but Jim Ross really, you know, this isn't in his prime. I mean, he knows what to do.
Yeah.
He knows how to make things seem important. So with that, this is the atmosphere. And just in 2002 was a damn good year for wrestling. That was a really good year for WWE.
Brock Lesnar and The Rock had to follow that. It's not every day that a 45-minute street fight can keep you compelled from bell to bell.
And I think it's mostly because of Shawn Michaels.
Oh, hell yeah. My pick is also HBK Triple H Street Fight from 2002.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so it's up to me to either...
Tie it or kill it.
Tie it or kill it. Well, I'm going to kill it.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the ladder match. I know it's not like the ladder match from WrestleMania 10, but... I don't mind the fact that it was a repeat. You know, I liked it. I liked the one from 10. I liked this one. They both seem to complement each other. And to be honest, I know you guys are speaking glowingly of this Triple H HBK match, but I gotta be honest, I do not remember that match from that pay-per-view. From that pay-per-view, I remember Rock versus Brock. And you said, man, Rock versus Brock had to follow that. Well, yeah, you know what? They did. that was, in my mind, the better match there, and I don't even remember this match.
You don't remember this match?
I don't remember it.
Here's the problem, Abel. Just like last week, that was a lot of matches for the WrestleMania one. as much as I, as of a lack of effort that I had or made to watch everything on television this week, I watched all four of these matches.
Yeah.
So I had fresh view, fresh point of view, fresh take on everything. So there wasn't about me forgetting anything. I saw both and I was like, wow, I was more compelled by or I was more entertained by X, or I was more overwhelmed by X as opposed to.
No, even the end of that match. Shawn Michaels in tears, on his knees, Hebner going over to him and them embracing. Dude, how do you not remember
and
that?
Then, I don't remember this.
And then Triple H with the sledgehammer beheading Shawn Michaels into oblivion.
Oof.
Yeah.
And it's sad. I'm going to say it's sad and pitiful that this match is not moving on to the tournament.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
That's one.
All right.
There's only been one so far, this episode, that you got to edit.
And you deserve it. You deserve it.
Oh, okay.
You deserve it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
RVD Jeff Hardy, ladder match for the hardcore title in 2001.
Yeah.
Against Taker Mankind. I don't know why I put a G on here. Mankind.
Mankind.
Mankind. Manking. Boiler Room Brawl from 96. And so far, Taker Mankind is up by three votes with three of us.
Well, again.
And this time you're going first.
I am going first. I am going with the people. The people have spoken, and I'm speaking with them. Boiler Room Brawl. Gotta go with that. You got this big old grin on your face. Okay. Let me just say my piece. As much as I like RVD and Jeff Hardy, and as much as I like the idea of RVD versus Jeff Hardy, especially in their prime at that time, I think Mankind and Taker had more going for them as characters with that match. You know, Mankind was, he wasn't Foley yet. It was just Mankind, where he was Cactus Jack, but we're not sure if he's really going to make it. And he's got this weird character. Like, what's really going on with it? And, you know, he's claiming that Paul Bearer is his uncle, and this, like, something really needs to give in this feud. And that match, That was the thing that solidified it for me. Like, okay, this is Mankind. This isn't an Undertaker ripoff. He's something different, you know, and where we can have the casket matches for Taker, Broiler Room, that makes sense for him. So that's what tickles my fancy on that one.
For me, as much as I like RVD Hardy, and it was presented well, where Hardy is the risk taker and RVD is the unorthodox as far as the ladder match goes, I think they told a better wrestling story in their first encounter in Invasion for the hardcore title.
Yeah.
Establishing the fact that this brand split isn't going to just be heavyweights against like jobbers. RVD for ECW winning that title at Invasion gave more credibility to the Invasion than it would have if RVD didn't win it. The fact that Mankind was made a threat to Taker.
Yeah,
whether Paul Bearer turned or not, and the story that match told, I'm actually picking Taker Mankind also.
There you go, Travis. One of us, or are you going to be the outlier, the lonely outlier?
Don't say it. Don't say outlier.
Outsider.
Just stop talking.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You know what? I was actually gonna say Hardy RVD, but y'all maybe remember how much that you sold it for me. The closing argument for you was it made Mankind a threat.
Yeah,
because
this out of shape donut Pudge actually got to beat Taker. You know,
yeah. It was and to your point, it was more character based between Undertaker and Mankind, but it was a one off match, a Boiler Room Brawl. We don't any of those.
I think there's only been one other one with Mankind and Big Show.
Oh yeah.
And another Backlash, I think. But that's it. It's been a rarity.
Was that the match where because it was in the Boiler Room, that was at the time in the mid-90s, they didn't have the big screens and everything, so they had to wheel out TVs around the ring for people to watch them?
Yeah.
I remember that from that match. So.
Oh, technology.
Yeah.
All right, so that means for round two,
we have HBK Razor ladder match from 95 going up against 96 Taker Man King Boiler Room Brawl.
That's going to be very fun for round two.
And our listeners, look for our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio.
Yes. On Thursday, we will have the next bracket.
Right.
We will surprise them.
Yeah, for still round one, but matchups 5 and 6.
Yes.
Right.
I'll get that out eventually.
Yeah.
Hopefully sooner rather than later, but yeah.
We'll make it work.
Yes. All right, so there we go. Is that a show? Are we done?
That's it, my man.
All right.
You gotta lose battery in your laptop anyway. So.
Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo! Okay, well, let's get out of here. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
Pop your culture.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!